Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley. My folks down near Eufaula, the state of Georgia, state of Florida line. My people down near Dothan and Cuthbert and over in Seal and up near LaGrange, all over the valley area. This is Teddy Reese with Sunday Conversation. I tell you, it's good to be back here with you. Today is Sunday, May the 13th. I tell you, this month of May is moving very fast here. It's right here up on us. So want to say happy Mother's Day to all my mothers out there. This is your special day. This is the day that we recognize you and thank you for being who you are. And I tell you, today I got a very special show. So I want everyone to listen closely to today's show. It's going to be a little unique. It's not going to be what you're accustomed to. If you got some young boys, teenagers, grandchildren, I want you to bring them in so they can hear this show today, because we're going to have some real conversation, and we're going to have conversations about what's going on in our community. As you guys are aware, we've been having issues with violence, not just here in Columbus, but it's been a national thing, and we got to break that cycle. We got to figure some things out. And as listeners, you know, I've said many times before that during my time in corporate America, we were big on when we made changes or if we saw a problem, when we were looking for solutions, we would always go to what we call the voice of the customer. And the voice of the customer when it comes to this crime issue, in my opinion, gotta be people that are connected to the community, that knows what's going on, that can go to these people, go to our folks, our people, and talk to us and talk to everybody and not be afraid of who they're talking to. And oftentimes we have too many folks trying to resolve our community issues in boardrooms and not have folks in there talking that look like the community that they're talking about. And that's a problem. That's not how we're going to reach a real solution. So today we're going to have a real conversation. It's going to get a little raw. It's going to get a little real. But I asked my guest today to keep it real. You know, there's no need of sugarcoating. If we're going to have a community conversation, if this is going to be a real Sunday conversation, you know, we got to be willing to listen and take in different people's opinions. So I am truly honored to have with me today a guy who's been a good friend of mine for a long time since I moved to Columbus. Terrence Flowers has been, you know, a part of the home team and just embraced me as a good brother. And we've worked on some projects together, and he does great quality work as a videographer as well as a producer. And Terrence is we're going to talk to him a little later, but he's from Columbus.
You know, what up, Columbus?
And so we're going to have a conversation with him. And I also got C Black in the building. Y'all know Chris Lyles. He been ripping up the stages all over Columbus doing his thing, all over the South doing his thing. And you know, brother got some great music. And Chris, I appreciate you for being here. And you two bring a very dynamic perspective to what we have going on here. I know, Terrence, I know you, Blue, you've been documenting a lot of stuff as far as the community, as far as Columbus. And you know a lot of people here in the community. Chris, you know, I wanted you to come here and talk with me today, have this conversation with Blue and I today, because oftentimes people feel that our youth can be reached through music.
I totally disagree.
You disagree with that?
I totally disagree.
Okay, all right. Well, we gonna see. We gonna have a conversation about it. I'm gonna give you an opportunity to expand upon that opinion, and hear from you on how we can reach our youth if we can't reach them through music, which seems to be something that interests them. How can we reach them? So let's start off. We'll start off with Blue. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing all right, Ted. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Now Blue, are you from Columbus?
I was originally born in Montgomery, Alabama, but I was raised in Columbus.
Raised in Columbus. So you went to school here and everything?
That's right.
Okay. All right. And from the Columbus that you saw growing up here as a kid to where we are now, do you think that from a crime perspective things have gotten better or are they worse? I mean, if you look at just this past week alone, there was a shooting reported at the Cheddar's restaurant. over North Columbus, and there was also a shooting reported near North Star Drive, over in that area, in the backside of North Star Drive on Century Avenue, Century Street, I think it was.
And that's my neighborhood.
That's your neighborhood.
They call it the Drive.
They call it the Drive. And so there was a shooting. I think 6 people were shot.
Yeah.
And one person lost their life.
I don't know about the lost life. I haven't seen that reported. Kind of on Facebook, but I haven't seen the news or the law enforcement report.
Okay.
But report. I know about 5 or 6 that got shot, though.
So 6 people getting shot is something serious already. So what do you think is happening here? Is crime getting worse, or is it getting
to answer that question, because I've been in Columbus a long time. I think it's ebb and flow.
Mm-hmm.
I think crime, different crimes, they spike some years and some years they go down. I think the biggest difference now is social media. Because back in the day, somebody might get hit. You wouldn't even know about it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You just see somebody you know at the club that weekend. Hey, you know, you heard about so and so. What happened to him? You know. But now it's instant. When they go down, when that happened on the Drive on Century, I got a phone call. Then my phone just started blowing up. First thing I did was call my boys. I got 2 teenage sons. One's 18, one's 17. And they was actually there.
Mm-hmm.
And they was okay, thank God. But everything's instant now. So I think murder, violent crime, I think that it goes up and down. I think Columbus, like last year was worse. It was bad. But we've had bad. In the 90s, it was bad, too. So it goes up and down. I kind of agree with them. And I think the mayor actually said that crime goes up and down.
Is it gang activity?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's gang activity. I mean, just to be honest, the streets is the streets. I mean, ain't nothing changed in the streets. It's just like he said, you know, social media has made it where everybody see what's going on.
And social media's done that for a lot of things.
You know what I'm saying?
It's just
magnified everything. You know what I'm saying? Now when something happened, like Blue said, you know what I'm saying, it was certain, back in the day, certain people got phone calls. But, you know, back in the day, you didn't have, like, a couple of phones anyway. You know what I'm saying? So the news wasn't spreading like that. So, I mean, I think, you know what I'm saying, like he says, up and down. But, you know, now it's just bigger because everybody see it. You know?
So do you think that a lot of some of this crime is sensational? Lies because of the attention that social media would get it?
Most definitely. Yeah. Likes.
Yeah.
Street cred. Like, you know, like back in the day, you got street cred for really just your reputation, putting in work. Now they want to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, boom, boom, boom. I shot this party up, or I slapped this dude out, or I did this or that.
But what makes that popular, Chris, in the minds of our young folks, what Blue just said, what makes that popular to be the person on social media saying that I shot this person up, or I turned this party out, or
to say what makes it popular? I couldn't really answer what makes it popular. But I can say that it is popular. I really don't even know what makes it popular. Because a lot of people see, when you grow up and you see certain people. And you know what I'm saying, that's what you see. I mean, you're a product of your environment. You see these people, these certain people, they have to do this to get that. You know what I'm saying? They got the big cars and the big reins and the girls and all that stuff, and they had to do this to get that. You know what I'm saying? So you might think that you might got to do it too, and if you're hearing it all the time, you know what I'm saying, through music, and people, music is an outlet.
Okay.
That's just what it is. Music is an outlet. No matter what you're doing, it's an outlet. You know what I'm saying? It's you expressing what you do. You know what I'm saying? So if you getting a lot of people out the streets and they expressing their music, that's their outlet. It's kind of like their journal. If they writing down in their journal, like, I did this right here. If they writing about it and not doing it, I'm cool with that. You know what I'm saying?
So if music is an outlet, clearly music is also there for people to hear.
Right.
So isn't it possible that that output would impact the actions of others?
Why do movies get the pass?
They don't get a pass. Music don't get a pass. Movies don't get a pass.
Movies get a bigger pass than music do.
Okay, you're right. I agree with you.
I think Jay-Z, one of the biggest lines I like from Jay-Z, it ain't a line that a lot of people don't.
The movie did.
Scarface the movie did more to me than Scarface the rapper.
Yeah.
You feel feel what I'm saying? Because you, what you see is really what you do, not what you hear.
Right.
Because you can listen to your mama. She can tell you not to touch that stove. But until you see that stove, until you touch it yourself, you don't care.
See, Black, that's real. That's real. And I appreciate everything you just said. And you certainly just tweaked my mindset a little bit about the movie aspect of it. And you focused that down to the visualization of things. So do you think these video games, like when they be in these video games, driving around, stealing cars, shooting folks, you see how young people, they're popular with them. Do you think that desensitizes them to the actual act of murder, of taking someone's life? Is that a C thing too?
I don't, because it would be millions of desensitized kids around killing people. That's one of the biggest selling video games ever, and if it was a direct link between violence, I think that would show with other races.
That's a good point.
What I think, going back to the other thing you said about why they do it, mm-hmm. I think it's for the fame. Everybody wants to be a star. Mm. Social media got it where you can be that person that the whole world knows just for that split second in time. So everybody wants to be a star. And some of these kids now, at my generation, I'm probably a little older than you guys. I can remember when things matter differently. You know what I'm saying? Like the respect fact. These kids, I think, and I might, we talked about this earlier, when it comes to having respect will make you not cross a certain line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you got respect for yourself or respect for your elders, it's certain lines you're not going to cross.
Absolutely.
These kids are crossing that line. No, we kind of looked at it like, he probably can vouch for this. You was either a civilian or you was a soldier, being in the streets. Mm-hmm. You was a civilian, you know, nobody ain't going to just put in no work on you or do nothing to you. But now they don't care.
Yeah.
One of the girls that got shot the other day, she was actually holding her baby, I heard, and actually dropped the baby and got hit several times, almost point blank. So that's the type of people we're dealing with. And I heard that the one of the kids that did actually came from a decent home. So
decent home.
It's not like these kids are just poverty stricken, just dirt barrel poor kids. They decent homes. In some cases, have both parents. So it's you have to look at what changed. And I think social media is one of the biggest things that change.
Wow.
And how they get the media, the information to come in, and how they reflect it. Everybody can't handle like that. We had NWA, we had all kind of gangster rappers, but we just didn't go out there and just do every single thing they say. We just took it in for music for what it was. Mm-hmm. These kids are trying to emulate some of the artists that they like now.
So you just alluded to a change of respect, like even for our elders, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because I was at McDonald's yesterday with Catherine, my little girl, 20 months old, and I got a high chair and we pulled up to the table. Her mom had a meeting to go to, so that's why the two of us were out together having dinner. And there were two men sitting behind us at the other table, and they had to be in their 40s or 50s, mid 40s to early 50s. And with my daughter sitting there, I constantly heard MF this and SOB and all kind of words that I was like, you know, dude, I have a baby sitting here. You know, and if you're doing this in front of my 20-month-old, I know you're doing this in front of an impressionable child that may be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, do we bear responsibility as a community, and as parents to curb the action of our children? And that's kind of what I kind of felt you were insinuating there a little bit, Blue, because you said that they've lost respect. You talk about that a little bit.
I think somewhere, I'm just going to start with these 90 baby, and definitely 2000 babies. Mothers, I'm not blaming mothers in particular, but we've been having single mothers forever. Single mothers just didn't start in the 90s or the 80s. We've been having single Black mothers. I know it got worse, but we've been having forever. The kids, something changed. And I think what happened was social media. Everybody want their baby. Look how they do parties. I've seen a meme on it. Back in the day, we had ice cream and hot dogs at our birthday parties. Now they do it big. Yeah. Everybody wants to be a star. They want that. You know, you can't even afford to spend $500. They got the horses out there. They got the carnival. I mean, people are doing these for their kids, so these kids are spoiled.
Yeah.
So they don't know what consequences is.
What are they emulating, though? And I guess that goes back to you, C. Black, because you said movies. What about, like, reality TV?
Yeah. that's still not pointing back to music. You see what I'm saying? That, but like you said,
real hip hop.
Everything that you see, what they see is what they emulate. Whether they see it in the hood, whether they see it on screen, whether they see it, you know what I'm saying? What they see is what they want to be. Like he said, it's fame. And when you see that, that's what's picking up, you know, the lights and stuff. Yeah. Then that's what you're gonna do. Like if you know you can go slap somebody and they gonna laugh, then you might go slap three or four people because you know I'm gonna get 1,000 likes if I slap somebody across the head. You know what I'm saying? Just say something funny, or if I go dance real crazy out in the street, I'm gonna get some, you know what I'm saying, get some likes. You know, it's really about likes now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Wow. You don't even get paid for it. and you know what I'm saying?
That's why it comes down to the M word, morals.
Yeah.
If you teach your children morals, they gonna know right from wrong. And even if they do make a mistake and do wrong, at least they'll have that thought process. Right. I'm more scared of the kid who ain't thinking. He keep clutching and busting, shooting right in the crowd. He ain't, that's the kid I'm scared of. If your child thinking, we got a fighting chance. And these kids don't think. They act. And I try to instill in my boys, always take 5 seconds. Unless it's just a life and death situation, take 5 seconds to think about what you finna do and how it can affect you. Because that 5 seconds might save your life. It would have saved your daddy doing some time. 5 seconds. It don't take a lot, but just that we so quick to react. We don't want nobody to have no points on us, or we don't want nobody to make us look bad or embarrass us. We so quick to react, and we stop thinking. And got to get back to
it. That's real. We're going to take a quick break. Before I go to break, you know, C. Black told us his favorite line from Jay-Z. But you're a music man yourself. Give me one of your favorite lines from your own.
Oh, man. Don't let them trick you out the street. I mean, that everything, everything glitter one touched by Midas, and everything shine ain't real diamonds.
Hey.
You know what I mean? So, wow.
Don't let them cheat. Yeah,
that's deep. That's deep. That's lifting the veil there.
Oh, yeah.
This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here having a real conversation with good friends. I got Blue here, Terrence Flowers, and I got C Black, Chris Lives with me here in the studio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to focus a little bit on, you know, what can we potentially do to flip the course, to end this perpetual cycle of what we see going on in our community, going on in our neighborhoods. How can we impact that? So you don't want to miss the second half. We'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. We're having a conversation today about community, about crime, about violence, about the murders, about the killings, about the homicides, about, you know, the unnecessary violence that we're seeing in our community. And we're having a conversation that's focused on the fact that we cannot give up on our young people. We got to fight to get them back. We got to fight to work with them, to show them the way, to provide for them the role models that they should be emulating. A good people of society, as one of my guests said earlier, bringing back respect and bringing back morals and bringing back parenting to where we're actually disciplining and teaching our children. Because as another one of the guests said previously, it seems like they're not thinking. they're just acting. And we need them to think. We need them to understand consequences. We need them to understand how their actions may impact others. So let me jump back on real quick with Terrence Flowers Blue, as well as Chris Lyles. Many of you know him as C Black. Let's start with this question, Blue. With what we see right now going on in our community with our youth, what do you think we can do to try to pull them back in, brother?
I think it's going to take a revolution. Anything that was effective took great change. It can't be nothing. You can't throw, what they say, shoot a BB gun at a freight train. They're going to take something, some real change to get these kids straight. And I think you're going to have to maybe get with the psychologists and stuff and find that age where they can be flipped. Like if a kid's like, you know, sometimes you see a kid maybe 6 or 7, they real bad, but maybe they can still be saved. But I would try to get all my prevention, like kind of like maintenance on your car before they get in trouble at a certain age, and really try to put a lot of aid and money into those programs to help steer those kids straight. But you got to go back to the government, man. They stopped. They told you couldn't whoop your child. A lot of kids, I was a manipulative child, so I know kids get manipulated. They know that their parents can't hit them. They use that. They play their parents like that. So now when something big happened, mm-hmm. if the parents do whoop them, they're going to go to jail. These kids know it. So, I mean, parents are kind of put in a hard place, too, when it comes to disciplining their kid to a certain extent
So you're saying that the hands are tied?
To a certain extent. If you start from day one, mm-hmm. raising your child right, they're going to think about it because they know right from wrong. Some mm-hmm. kids, they grew up in a household where they didn't, you know what I'm saying? They always got let do what you want to do. Stay up late as you want to. Play the video game as you want to. Have a phone. Do all this. So when they get to...
Well, you know, we start having them so early that parents did not be parents. You're having a child at 15 and...
They know you have kids at 15. My grandma had I think her first kid at 16. I was back in the 40s. So stuff like that, single parents, all that stuff been happening. Over the last 20, 30 years, we've had a change in these kids' behavior. It's a respect thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe... every effect was due to a cause, mm-hmm. cause and effect. So we see the effect, but what caused it? So we can reverse it, or at least attack it and deal with it.
It go back to social media again. It go back to social media again because everything was publicized. Like he said, everything. I mean, just think about it. Most gangster movies and pictures and all that stuff happened back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. Mm-hmm. All this stuff been going on. Mm-hmm. All this stuff been going on. It's just now. You can see it. You know what I'm saying? You can see it happening. You can see all the stuff that's going on in the streets. You know,
someone like go said, live at a neighborhood shooting before the news get there.
You feel what I'm saying? It's seen now. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I think. That's just my personal opinion. I don't think that it goes up and down. And, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you see stuff and you like, wow, man, I can't believe that happened. But, you know, that stuff like that been happening. Man, I was watching a gangster film before I came here. I think it was John Gatto, one of them on one of the mobster thing like that, man. They would stab man with an ice pick in the head 70 times and stuff like that. That was back in 30s and 40s. And you know, it was all type of stuff. Stuff like this been happening. But in order for us to fix it, I mean, like he said, it's gonna take a big change. And it's going to take more than people, just conversation. It's going to take a lot more than conversation.
Black said it's going to take a revolution. And I'm not against him on that. I agree exactly what he's saying. But and C Black, you said earlier that a lot of our children are a product of, or you don't have to become a product of your environment.
Right.
So I'm going to take the inverse of that to say that you feel that some of them are a product of their environment.
Yeah, definitely.
What about the environment do we change?
I mean, that's going to come down to us. I mean, we're going to have to do something in the White House. That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm. We'll be here all day talking about that because for the simple fact that it ain't set up for us to succeed anyway. When I step outside, you know what I'm saying, I'm going to be real. I grew up on the east side, but my folks are from the height in Phoenix City. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I grew up on the height, or my mom and them sent me down to my grandma's house and had to Chubb, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? So I'm a real country boy that came up here during school time, went to Wynn Elementary, walked back to right down here to 10th Street, and you know what I'm saying? That's what I did, you know what I'm saying, on a regular basis, like consistently. Now, I had a choice. I had a whole bunch of stuff I got to see, so I consider that to be privilege. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So I ain't never been one one of these people that brown here that want to be anything than what I am, because you know what I'm saying? Because I done seen it. I had a choice, but a lot of people don't have a choice, and they become what they only see. You feel what I'm saying? If this was gonna make me money, I'm seeing my mama go to breaking her back going, and she barely being able to pay the rent. And I can go out here with my partner while she out here and stand right here on this curb and make enough for her not to go to work no more. He gonna do that. That's 9 out of 10 times.
That's a powerful and sobering reality. The way you just said that, I'm sure for a lot of listeners, they don't like that you said. I'm sure it's making a lot of people feel a little unnerved that you said that, but that's reality.
Yeah, that's real.
And that's why we're here having this conversation, because again, like I said earlier, too many people are making decisions on what we need to do to improve our community and don't understand what's going on in the community. They don't understand the plight of our young folks. A lot of them don't understand the challenges on certain streets right here in this city and what folks have to go through and maneuver on a daily basis for the simple thing that we call survival. Survival.
Yeah.
We are talking survival in the United States of America, a country where we send billions to other countries each year to help them out with their food shortage, with their infrastructure, with their military and everything else. And right here in our own country, we're dealing with communities and environments where people are having to do what they got to do to survive. It's not an excuse. But it's the reality of it. So Blue, swinging back over to you real quick, brother. You talked about your sons and how you're interacting with them. Do you honestly feel with the right resources, or do you feel at all with the right resources, that you could be planted in the community and be there as a change agent as long as you have people supporting you? Do we have folks that you think in this city that we could pull together, create a program, come up with a source of funding that allows these guys to go into the community, talk to the folks that they know, and do things to turn this around? Can we do that? And what do you think something like that would look like?
Yes, we can. One thing about me, I'm a realist, but I'm also a hopeless optimistic, too. I believe you have to have a plan for anything else, like anything else. You have to have a line of defense. It was kind of like a troop movement, like playing chess. You got to rally your troops, build that wall, shelter those kids in that want to be saved and the ones you think you can save, and you got to kind of let the rest fall by the wayside and raise that next generation up. Because if you instill the proper morals and respect in these children, they're going to do that in their kids in turn. That's how you break something. But if we have the right funding, we got these programs. Like, these kids want to be rappers. These kids want to be photographers. They want to be... If we had the right funding, what we could do is, people like me and C-Black, we can go to these hoods, get with these community leaders from these neighborhoods, and pull some of those kids out of those environments. And I might just say just throw money at them, but let them work in the field that they want to do. Let them see that, hey, it's another way out. So it would definitely take funding and enough people to pull it off. But I believe we could do it, man, if I put the right people together and make it happen.
I think so too, man. I mean, piggyback on what he's saying. Like he said, I just feel like, you know what I'm saying, with if you put the right people in there to make it work, and you know what I'm saying, if people got to be more active, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, like I said earlier, a lot of people talk about it, but you know what I'm saying? You got to grab these people, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you know this person listen to you, then, you know, say something to them, you know what I'm saying? I know Blue got people that you know what I'm saying, that listen to him. You feel what I'm saying? They might not listen to nobody else in this city, but they'll listen to Blue. He ain't going to tell them to go left if he know they can go right and not get in trouble. That's the same way with me. And we ain't the only people that can do that, but if everybody that in our position that can just take that, then you know what I'm saying, I think we can get somewhere too, but we still need more than us. You feel what I'm saying? And then I want to make sure I say this too. I want to make sure I say this. I really want to see, you know what I'm saying, the people that are in the church, I want to see y'all more active, like outside the church. I want to make sure I said that. And the reason I said that is because I ain't trying to step on no toe, but I feel like it needed to be said. Like, you know what I'm saying? On the L, when we go out to these spots, you know what I'm saying, and Boo, I don't know if he going to, I know he be at these spots. I be at some of these spots. I don't be at all of them. But a lot of time I see more Muslims than I do Christians. You know what I'm saying? And then I see a lot of Christians people talking. You know what I'm saying? Dominique be everywhere.
Brother,
you know what
I'm saying? Brother
Mike be everywhere. I mean, these people, I see these people, but I don't see a lot of the pastors that, you know, that do a lot of the criticizing and the talking about the streets. I don't ever see those people. So I just want to make sure that I mention that. Mm-hmm. And I ain't trying to step on no toes, but if the shoe fit, then you know where, you know. So we would like to see more you people out there too. So.
No, I see exactly what you're saying. And you didn't present it as a competition thing.
Right.
You're just saying, you know, practice what you preach.
Right.
You know, if you're going to be preaching that we got to change the community, that we got to bring people closer to God, that thou shalt love thy neighbor, thou shalt not kill, then let's take that message to the street. No, you have a right to be here to voice your opinion, and that's why you're here. I have my share of pastors, I have my share of elected officials, and everybody say what they want to say without being restricted. So this is your day to say what you want to say.
Right.
And you're welcome to say it. That's what a Sunday.
Well, bring back summer jobs, City of Columbus.
Yep.
Bring back summer jobs.
Yeah, bring back. Back in the days, they used to have the summer jobs for the kids. Y'all go through these projects, put them kids to work, man, let them kids make them some money.
Well, you know, the Urban League has a great summer program.
They've been doing it for years, but the City of Columbus used to do it back in the day.
Right. And since they're not doing it, you know, identifying things like the Urban League summer program, we can move back to, you know, filling a void where one has been created because of the city pullback. Yeah. You know, as my grandma used to say, it's more than one way to skin a cat. But I want to touch on something real quick. When we were talking about potentially pulling together other OGs or folks from the community, leaders, you know, when I say leaders, I don't mean it has to necessarily be somebody who won an election, but the man who stands on the corner and tell the young boys, pull your pants up.
Mm-hmm.
The man who stand there at his fence and tell the young boys, you know, me and my wife here in the house, why don't y'all cut that profanity down a little bit? The people that the boys on the street are gonna respect. They don't say nothing out the way this gentleman, because they know that he paved the way for them. I do believe there's still some respect embedded in there. In our young folks, we just gotta tap into it. If we wanted to pull together a movement, Blue and C Black, if we want to pull together a movement, how do I reach more Blues in the community? How do I reach more C Blacks? Do I start with you two and let you branch out?
Dominique first.
Yeah, Dominique.
Okay. Dominique, he's a good friend too. He's a very good friend.
I say start and document, and if people believe and start seeing, they're doing the call. But everybody, like C Black said, people talk, but they talk, don't walk the walk. So if they see you doing it and it starts working, then be like, okay, well, let me lend my talents to help out. So,
well, I think it would need to be a mass movement.
With
a big agency, someone like Michael Soul or David's Broadcasting or Janice Granville, folks like that getting behind it. Yep. Because we see individual efforts, but sometimes those people that have very good intentions with what they're trying to do, they don't have the reach.
Reach, exactly.
To get all the resources, and it's not their fault.
Yeah.
It's not that it hinders them, but it's not their fault. Those people, we would need to work with them too, because we wouldn't want anybody to think that I'm trying to trample on what you've been doing, because your efforts are valid and we thank you. Anybody who's listening out here who's been on the community, like Reverend Phillips down there off of South Lumpkin and North Lumpkin down there and near Oakland Park, you know, we got Todd Head and his wife.
Yeah.
You know, they've been out there working hard trying to change the community. Yeah. You know, we got some real soldiers out there. And I want us to pull the soldiers together, and let's see if we can do something. So, you know, this has been a great talk, gentlemen, and we're getting ready to close out here. And I just want a final word from you. You know, if you want to send a message to our youth, or you want to send a message to the listeners, or just the community as a whole, we'll start with you, Blue.
I would like to just tell the youth, or parents, tell your kids, tell you love them, try to instill good values into them. Tell them to love life and love the life of others. Most of the murders this year has been inflicted upon African Americans, black on black crime. So, I mean, white kids listen to music too. They play video games too. So this, it's you gotta look at it. A kid's gonna be a kid, but why is this stuff affecting our African American kids more than these white kids? So it's something that is coming from the home, in my opinion. And so, just love your kids and teach them to love others.
Excellent message. Talk to me, C. Black.
Yeah, Blue made a good point, man. I mean, if the white kids are doing the same thing, I mean, listen to the same music, actually buying the music that we doing, you know, then it shouldn't be any excuse other than the home. So make sure you know everything starts home. Make sure your kids know you love them. Don't just tell them you love them. Make sure you show them you love them. And y'all stay active in the community. Stay active. Don't talk about it. You know, grab somebody. You ain't got to be seen to be active. You can just grab somebody and talk to them. You know what I'm saying? And even if they think you're preaching, you know, just talk to them. You know what I'm saying? Don't be scared. Don't be scared of your own people. That's the one big thing. Don't be afraid of your own people.
Wow. Those are some powerful words from two gentlemen that I respect very highly. Blue C. Black, I just want to thank both of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come here and speak with me today. We've mentioned some names out there of some other very influential people that could have just as well been in this room with us today. Dominic and Tarhead and some other folks, Reverend Phillips down there of South Columbus, and many, many, many other people, folks who's been fighting these streets for a long time. Ronzel Buckner, you know, giving folks jobs, bringing them.
He from the hood.
You know, there's a lot of folks out there, and we can't stop. We got to keep moving. We got to keep working, but we got to do it smarter. And hopefully this conversation is the beginning of us doing it smarter. Hopefully this conversation is the beginning of us organizing to take our young folks back, because we love them. We want them to be successful. They are our future. They are our ancestor wildest dreams. Many people died and bled and sacrificed so much so that we can walk this soil of the United States of America out of fear of being shot at, hung, having dogs bite us, and so many other different things. So we can't let their efforts be for naught. It would be an atrocity to our ancestors if we don't pick up our youth, embrace them, love them, as Blue said, show them the way, as C. Black said today, and show them that there's a brighter future. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I want to thank you again for listening to us, and we'll be right back with you next Sunday. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the loving mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day, my mama, too.
Happy Mother's Day, mama.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And thank y'all so much. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese.
The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.